joining me on the phone now, Lansing Mayor Virge Bonero. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, Cheryl. Good. How are you?
I'm doing awfully well. You've had a busy couple of days, sir.
Yeah, it was nice to just take a moment there and just do a little jig to your music.
You know, I always like that as well. We all kind of rock out.
This is radio.
You have no idea how good a thing it is, sir. You have no idea. I could, if I'd known you were enjoying it, we could have had Scott play it just a little bit longer. Next
no,
time,
fine.
I'll know. You had an interesting meeting today. I love how you get people together. You had past Lansing mayors along with yourself at a press conference gathering to support the May 3rd election for a $4 million increase that goes to the voters.
Well, I was really grateful. I'm very heartened that former mayor Benavides and Hollister and Crawford would come together to support the millage. It means a great deal. I think it shows you how important this May 3rd election is, and it's a testament to, you know, the bipartisan nature. This isn't about Democrat-Republican politics. It's not about federal politics. It's not about Tea Party tax or no tax. It's not even about so much state politics. This is about the quality of life in Lansing. And these three former mayors, you know, they're residents of the city. They know the city well. They know the operation. And they're willing to come out publicly and enthusiastically, you know, support this millage increase. Mayor Hollister pointed out in the meeting that the budget that I proposed is about equal in numbers to the budget he proposed in 2001. So, you know, we're trying to provide 2011 services at 2001 prices. And if you think about the cost of gasoline alone, I got to put gas in these patrol cars and in the fire trucks and in the ambulances and in the snowplows. And you look at the cost of health care over 10 years, how that's gone. And the fact that we can provide the level that we do is pretty amazing. You know, we haven't really lost much in uniformed personnel, if any, in terms of police and fire. I have more police on the streets today than when I first took office as mayor. So, but we can't keep up that kind of, you know, it's just unsustainable to keep up that kind of quality of service in this environment when you've got property taxes plummeting like they are. And that's why we have to have this, we're asking for this millage at this time.
And you're asking for this to go for, your intention, should this pass on May 3rd, is for it to go to exactly that, police, fire, and roads.
No question. It's not just my intention. We have put in writing to the city council and to everybody else exactly where that money will go. I think it's about 90% to police and fire and about 10% to roads. And we've got the actual dollar amounts written out, and that's exactly where that money will go. Without the millage, I have virtually nothing for roads. And it's not that this is any evil plan. It's the budget. It's the realities of the budget, where we get way less money from Public Act 51 money for roads. We spend it basically during the winter plowing roads. The same money that we get to plow roads is and to salt them is the same money that's used for potholes, and it's basically used up. So without this increase, I've got nothing. In terms of police and fire, we've identified in the budget what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, losing about 120 uniformed personnel in police and fire, or we can save a number of those. I think it's 40 officers and firefighters that would be restored under the millage. So, you know, we're talking about maintaining the quality of life, maintaining the response time, the professionalism, and the great expeditious response that people are used to in police and fire. These are backbone services. This is the meat and the bone of what city government does. And these are services that up to this point, Cheryl, as you know, have been preserved. I've cut the budget for 5 years, but I've held police and fire harmless. I've insulated police and fire because public safety is the most important job we do, and it still is. But I've got such a deficit now that I just have nowhere else to go. Police and fire are over 50% of the budget. I can't cut $20 million and not affect police and fire. And that's why I came to the voters. I asked the council to put this on the ballot as a last resort. I support their move to put it on the ballot. I have a sign on my yard. I will vote for the millage increase because I think it's worth it to preserve that public safety.
And this is all about quality of life for the residents of Lansing.
Well, it really is. You know, two-thirds of residents right now are going to experience a tax cut. I'm getting a tax cut at my house, a big whopping tax cut, because my property value is going down, like so many others. The real estate bubble burst, we all know that. We know our homes are, we're being told our homes are worth less, and so we're collecting fewer taxes. And you can look at that as a good thing. The problem, though, is it comes at a terrible cost to city government and city services. I'm willing to forego some of my tax cut. I have no problem giving back $400 of it and preserving quality services. I want to know when I call 911 that there's going to be a great response like there always has been. We have one of the best trained, best equipped police and fire departments in the area, in the state, unquestioned, and I think that's worth preserving. I want to make sure that the worst potholes are filled. And, you know, even though people joke and talk about the quality of our roads, and I know they could be better, but if you compare, if you drive around other cities in Michigan, you know, we're not really measurably worse. We do a pretty good job with what we've got. Now, with more money, we can do even more. But at least this millage allows us to keep that basic level that we've been able to preserve even in these tough times.
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, Mayor, is you got together in Benton Harbor this week with a pretty lofty bunch and questioning the constitutionality of Public Act 4, which is the Emergency Financial Managers, and a possible lawsuit coming from that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not involved in the lawsuit, but I support it. And you know, Reverend Jackson and the Black Caucus, the Legislative Black Caucus, I think, and Congressman Conyers are looking at the lawsuit. I'm looking as much at the practical side, Cheryl. That you know, they're training 300 new EFMs, emergency financial managers, 300 financial czars potentially to go out and set straight the books of failing school districts and cities. And I'm saying, where's the plan for thriving cities? I understand we're talking about surviving cities, but I'm interested in thriving cities. I'm interested in our cities not being the hole in the donut, but the hub of the wheel. I'm looking for the plan to grow our cities. I'm looking for the plan to empower our cities, the plan to build community capacity in our cities, and I don't see it. I see the plan to slice and dice our cities. I see the plan to go out and appoint these mini czars to go over and take over a city and to strip the council and the mayors of their powers. You know, I see the revenue sharing plan, which cuts the money to cities. I see the budget that you had just a moment ago, Gretchen Whitmer, on talking about the school aid fund. Even though there's money in the school aid fund, we're going to cut schools. So I see the state pulling the rug out from underneath cities and school districts, but I don't see the plan for empowering or building up our local communities.
And I guess the opposite side of that, sir, is what is to be done with folks with municipalities and cities that are in serious trouble?
Well, again, I would offer help. I would offer empowerment. I would, you know, failing school districts, failing city, you know, why wouldn't you? I hear them talk about prevention, but there's no prevention built into these bills. Where is the economic SWAT team? Where is the academic SWAT team that descends upon a school district and goes in and helps them and works with the local community, pulls people together? I mean, really, if a school do you think you're helping a school district by cutting the per pupil spending? Are you helping a city by cutting revenue sharing? You know, what are we doing to facilitate consolidation? You know, I'm looking at the plans that are out there. I've been trying for consolidation here in the local region. There's a lot of obstacles to it. So there's a lot of things that could be done. I'm just saying, Cheryl, I don't see by bringing in a czar who's going to slice and dice and balance the books, you know, the bean counter, who's going to go in and make it balanced on paper. When you look out the window of City Hall, what is that city going to look like after the EFM has been there for a while? And by the way, these EFMs are richly rewarded. The guy in Benton Harbor is making $11,000 a month. I can tell you he's making a whole heck of a lot more than the mayor was ever making, so I guess he better really deliver. But what are these cities going to look like after the EFM has been there?
Well, that is to be told yet, sir. I'm afraid we're out of time. I could do a whole show with just you. Thank you for your time
Thanks
this evening
Always
and perspective.
A
Thank you, sir. Mayor Virge Bonera. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.